Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm Steven Miranda. On Wednesday, November 21st, 2018, episode 14.13, the NFL Week 12 show. We are back and getting you ready for Thanksgiving as we take a look at all of Week 12. Steve and I enjoyed one of the best games of the season as we took in Chiefs-Rams live from the Coliseum in Los Angeles. The Redskins suffered a huge blow, and now I am completely conflicted about the quarterback situation there in our nation's capital. And I'm being called the evil empire of the challenge game? What? We'll explain all those comments as we chomp it in. Here we go. Bringing American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda and Steve Fry with NFL Rants and Raves. That's right, I'm Steven Miranda, and alongside me,
Steve Fry.
Thank you very much for listening wherever in this great world you are and however you're listening. Appreciate you for joining us. Week 12 is here, but before we get to that, Steve and I want to say thank you because of the donations that we received from some of you out there. Thank you very much for the generous donations that we're getting. We've got some monthly donations, and we got some pretty big donations from a couple of you. We were able to use those funds and go to the game, which turned out to be probably the most epic game I've ever seen.
Clearly the best one I think I will ever be at.
Yeah.
I mean, it was amazing.
It reminded me, so a few years ago, the Denver Broncos played in Dallas. Jerry's great brand new palace. Peyton Manning was still with Denver. Tony Romo was still with the Cowboys. And they played to, like, I think it was 49-51 Denver in the end. It was a fantastic game. A lot of offense. Great defense. You know, in the end, unfortunately, a Tony Romo interception kind of lost the game for Dallas, even though it was not his fault that the defender made a Danny Trevathan, back when he was with Denver, made a spectacular play to pretty much end that game. And we're sitting, first of all, we were tricked into the seats that we were sitting in. We were pretty high up in the Coliseum, but we still had a great vantage point from the whole stadium. Got to really see everything before it even happened. There goes Tyreek Hill all by himself.
Yeah.
It'd be okay if somebody covered him. Touchdown, Chiefs.
It's just one of those where if you don't end up at an NFL game often enough, you don't realize what the camera on TV doesn't show you.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't show you a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, on the last interception, I mean, the ball was barely out of his hands, and I was already saying interception because you could see it was short. You could see double coverage, and you could already see the defender turning to make that catch. So it was, I mean, barely out of his hands, and you knew it was going to be an interception.
It was a great game, and I don't understand all of these. So, you know, the last time we did a show, I almost turned into the old guy. Remember, I was ranting about the touchdown celebrations?
Yep.
And I was almost like, get off my lawn, kid, you know? I didn't want to turn into that guy, but there's a bunch of them still out there because everybody said that was a horrible game. It was like a college football game, like Big 12, 50-45. I'm like, what's wrong with that?
It was fun. It was exciting. There was, for two teams with no defense, apparently, there was some nice turnovers.
There was a lot of defensive play. Yes. I mean, there were three defensive touchdowns. I think seven total turnovers. Five from the Chiefs, two from the Rams. So there was defense. Obviously, defense at very opportune times there near the end for the Rams. The fact that, you know, the Chiefs had that interception and the Rams couldn't put it away. They were forced to punt after, you know, three and out. And so the Chiefs get one more shot at it. And then, of course, you know, the dead duck kind of ended it.
Yep.
And I was a little upset. I was like, Pat, dude, I don't know who number 17 is, but he's right there in front of you. Just throw him the ball. He gets the first down. He gets out of bounds, and we live to play another down. He didn't have to go for the home run.
They survived it, but with that last series that the Rams went three and out on,
right?
Three screen passes.
Yeah,
like they didn't even try to run down the clock with a running back or anything.
Not just any running back. You have Todd Gurley for crying
exactly,
out loud.
Yes, I'm sorry for not sharing who, but
give him the ball one time at least.
I mean, I think they only gave him 11 carries all game.
Yeah, it was crazy.
I mean, they didn't even try to use him. They didn't even try to keep. I mean, neither team really
in a
even
game
attempted
to run the football
keep the defense honest by running the football.
Yeah.
They just said, forget it, we're going to pass it, and they opened up that
high
game.
Scoring affair. I'm glad we got to be a part of it and see it. It was really awesome. And for all you old crotchety, grumpy men who are like, we need defenses. Shut up. There was plenty of defense there. It was not a horrible game by any stretch of the imagination. If you did not like that game, you need to stop watching today's NFL because that's where the game is going.
That's
where it's going. Everybody's going to start throwing the football. It's already a passing league.
I'll give you that.
And if you don't have a quarterback that can throw the football, you're in trouble.
Are there 32 quarterbacks out there that can throw the football?
No.
Right. So
you're in trouble.
If you're a team that doesn't have one of those quarterbacks, one of those, five, six, seven elite quarterbacks that
there's
can air
dozen.
Out the ball.
There's a dozen.
Sure, we'll go to a dozen.
Okay.
So if you're the other half of the league that doesn't have a quarterback that can throw.
Go start doing
scouting. Do you just give up now?
No, you have to adjust.
If you have
the talent that you have in house,
if you're the Lions and you've got a defensive minded coach,
but you've got Matt Stafford, he can throw the football.
I know, but so if you don't have, I mean, a receiver, a strong running back, and a capable quarterback is no longer what it's going to take to win in the NFL.
You're going to need. I think it starts with a strong throwing quarterback.
You need a strong quarterback.
Yes.
You need a strong running back, an above average running
yes.
back, right? So you're by definition of above average, you're talking the best 16 running backs in the league.
Correct.
And then you need at least two receivers, tight ends. I mean, somebody catching the ball.
Couple pass
right?
catches.
You're not going to be able to do it with just one anymore.
No.
Right. You can't just have somebody double cover a single receiver and hope that they make a play.
Correct.
That's a lot of payroll to put out there, especially if you have any intent to put a line out there. And anything that resembles a defense. So, the only way you can pull that off is if you've got, a quarterback or a running back or somebody coming in on their rookie contracts.
And that's where these guys are.
Right.
That's where Mahomes and Goff.
Are these guys going to be in 4 years guys aren't on rookie contracts?
The Rams are going to have to blow up their team.
Right.
Once.
So, that's the challenge. So, a Packer fan, a Cowboy fan, we've had very consistent core players on our teams over the years. Right. How many quarterbacks have the Bears had in the time that we've had Rodgers and Favre for the Packers?
Yes.
So the Rams will be great for a couple of years, but if they want to stay great, they almost have to blow their team up, get rid of all these great players that everybody is now emotionally invested in, and rebuild the team in order to keep that flashy talent in LA. Otherwise, they're going to turn into what we're seeing with the Cowboys and Packers, where there's talent, but it's just getting bogged down. And your Packers getting rid of Jordy Nelson, a beloved player on the team, but doesn't really make sense to keep him financially.
Right.
So you're upsetting, fans. You're not really getting the fresh talent in there that's going to help you to reinvent your offense. And especially in the Packers' case, they're still having to play on offense from 5 years ago because
of the
personnel.
What are you saying? You don't like all of these wide receivers that have double last names for the Green Bay Packers? I don't even know what their names are, but I know they got two or three of them.
Sure, but they don't. It's just they're not really able to reinvent the team. They're able to fill a little hole here, a little hole there. I mean, heck, there's even talk about the Evil Empire finally peaking off this decades-long dynasty they've been on.
Yeah.
Whether it actually happens or not, we'll see. We'll talk again in a couple of weeks. But
we'll see how they do against the Jets. Because as Bill Belichick told the whole world, yes, he watched part of Monday Night Football, and they were like, well, what did you think of that game? All I was thinking about was the Jets. Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Anyway, fantastic game. And once again, to all the show donors out there, we really appreciate you. Thank you very much. Because there are still some costs associated with running the show, keeping the website up and stuff like that. But the game was great. I'm glad we were there. I'm glad I played a little bit of hooky from work. Probably should have done that, but I paid for it the next day.
On the short week, nonetheless.
Yeah, a short week, And yesterday, I was in the office till about 7:30.
We both paid for it yesterday.
Paid the price. All right. I got to tell you about my conflictedness with the quarterback situation there with the Washington Redskins. As you know, Alex Smith suffered a horrific injury this weekend against the Houston Texans, where he broke both his tibia and fibula. And, you know, CBS was getting some grief because they didn't, like, show 100 replays of it, which I'm actually quite thankful for. They showed their one replay, and the producer said, you know what, that's enough. It was, you know, one time was enough to show. We don't have to keep showing it over and over again. And I'm sure kind of Alex appreciated that. But aside from the really eerie coincidence was where it was the same day 33 years from Joe Theismann happening it to him, right? The Lawrence Taylor sack and he breaking his leg there. The game ended in the exact same score as that Giants-Redskins game ended 33 years ago. Aside of that, and obviously aside for, you know, I haven't met Alex Smith, having interviewed him a couple of times, I've always said Alex Smith is pure class. Really didn't like the way San Francisco did him. I think they did him wrong. But still, just knowing the guy, knowing how cool he is, having that injury happen to him is pretty bad. My conflict comes with his replacement, Colt McCoy. You know, I'm a big Texas fan.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Longhorn. Why of all, there are 31 other teams that Colt McCoy could be played for. Of all of them, he is with the Washington Redskins. I want him to do well as a Texas alum. But I really don't want him to do well because he's a Washington Redskin.
So as a huge supporter of Brett Favre,
yeah.
I can give you plenty of advice there.
Please tell me what happened when Favre became a Minnesota Viking. Because I'll tell you what I did. I went out and I bought a Minnesota Viking Favre jersey and went to Green Bay to cheer him on. Okay?
I did not go that far.
Okay. But did you cheer him on?
Cheering was maybe the wrong phrase, but I did not celebrate his failures.
You didn't wish him ill will.
Right. So that first year that he was on the Vikings beat the Packers twice.
Yes, I wasn't one of those.
Yep. So obviously wasn't happy about the loss, wasn't pleased that it was Brett of all people that was doing it, but it was kind of like, well, good for Brett that at his age he's still able to do this. Yes. You know.
So, that's why I was there. We're the same age. And I was like, if you can play at 41, go do it and just show them how you – don't let anybody tell you you have to stop playing. I was so excited for him. It was crazy, and that I got to watch him play in Green Bay at that
I celebrated every other failure the Vikings had. Don't mind. No.
Yeah.
It was just in that one position. It was, all right, it's Brett. So, you know, I'm not going to be too upset about it.
I was actually, of all the stadiums I have been to, I am there with my purple Brett Favre jersey, cheering him on, obviously, and everybody was so nice to me. I could not, it wasn't like I was a Vikings fan or anything. I was just told him, I was like, I'm a Brett Favre fan. I'm so happy for him. I'm glad that he's being able to play where he wants to, do what he wants to. And nobody said anything. I mean, nothing negative. We tailgated in the back of some very nice ladies' Packer home. You know, we parked in her huge backyard and we grilled some brats with the cheese oozed out of them. Oh, that was so good. Still remember that. And thanks for the fan who met us up there and brought those exploding cheesy brats that were delicious. But I really do not like that football club at all. I mean, not even to the point where I use the word hate. I really do hate the Redskins. You know how they say HTTR, hail to the Redskins? I said hate to the Redskins. That is my – I say HTTR all the time.
All right. So a question I've got for you.
Yes.
I have a coworker back east that's retiring at the end of the year here. Huge Yankees fan. So we're switching sports a little
bit. Okay. We can do that.
He set up some meetings in Boston weeks in advance. They planned a bowling event with some clients. They get there and realize that the Red Sox the day before had won the World Series.
Ah.
And the bowling alley that they're holding this event at was was across the street from the park.
So it's decked out with all.
Yep. They get there. They're setting up for a huge party. There's no bowling going on that day. And, dude, we had a party. We've been had a contract for, well, we're throwing a bit of a party. Don't know if you heard. Red Sox won yesterday. You guys are welcome to stay. We're going to have some friends over. Turns out they're having the team over to celebrate. So Red Sox players come marching in. They're taking pictures, signing autographs. My friend's even saying, look, I'm a Yankees fan. They're like, don't care. Come here. What do you want me to sign? You want to take a picture? And he said that's when he realized he doesn't hate the Boston Red Sox. The players were really nice.
Yes.
He hates Red Sox fans.
And likewise, knowing Colt McCoy, he's a really cool guy. I've heard of some great things that he has done off the field. So it's not that I hate Colt McCoy at right. all. Yep. I really like the guy. Yeah, it is their fans, but it's the team too.
It's true.
Something
yeah.
about what the Washington Redskins stands for. It's real, and it's funny because I've had to talk with my girls because they're like, "Dad, do you really hate the Redskins that much?" It's like, "Yeah." They're like, "Do you hate them more than the Giants and the Eagles?" Oh yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, I don't like the Giants and the Eagles. Obviously, I hate the Reds. I mean, literally, just do not like anything about that organization whatsoever. So I'm conflicted. I certainly don't want Colt McCoy to do well tomorrow on Thanksgiving Day. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone, by
yes,
the way.
Yes, yes.
However you're celebrating Thanksgiving.
Talking about hating teams, it was yeah. Acme Packing Company did a survey about which team's fans still view as their biggest rivalry in the NFC North.
Yes.
And all three other teams, the Vikings, Bears, and Lions, all
picked
listed
Packers.
The Packers. The Packers, even though they have dominated the Bears in the aggregate over the last, 20, 25 years.
Correct.
And it hasn't always been that way, trust me. But and the Vikings have given them a fight most of the time. They still pick the Bears overwhelmingly, too.
Yeah, it's wild. And, you know, I would say probably it's the same in the East, where the Redskins, the Giants, and the Eagles all really hate the Cowboys. But for the Cowboys fans, it's Washington.
Yeah,
you
just that one team.
You know, it probably goes back to me as a kid being, you know, going through my growing process and stuff, and always seeing the mascot of the Redskins, you know, the big dude with the headdress and stuff, and he was always beating up on Crazy Ray, who was the Dallas Cowboy guy who would dress up as a cowboy and stuff. And I was like, oh, I want to get that risk and I just want to smack him. Enough about that. Colt, I hope you do well, just not this Thursday, and maybe not too well either because, you know, I'd like the Cowboys to win the division. But anyways, there you go. And Alex Smith, God bless you, man. We wish you the best. Hope you have a speedy recovery. And what I fear, and I hope it doesn't come true, is that this might be a career ender. And I hope that's
hopefully
not the case
not.
For Alex. So, speaking of quarterbacks missing, the Chicago Bears are without their quarterback. How do you feel about that? You love it. You're a Packer fan, right?
Well, I don't wish ill will on anybody. And Trubisky had a couple of really good games.
Yeah.
He was able to light it up against some bad defenses.
Yes.
But he wasn't able to do anything against good defenses. I mean, the Bears are a legitimate playoff team. I'm conceding the fact that the Bears are likely winning the North.
Yep.
I mean, it's very
with them taking care of Minnesota last week, they pretty much got
Trubisky being out, even if it's out for a couple of weeks, is not why the Bears would lose the North.
I am thinking about changing my pick, though. I right now have the Chicago Bears winning this game on Thanksgiving. But since it's Detroit and the Lions have, you know, they just beat the Carolina Panthers, the playoff team. They beat the Patriots of all teams. They beat your Packers, man.
Yep.
They've won some games against some legitimate teams. I won't put me past them. This is a division rivalry. I may change my pick. As a matter of fact, I might have just talked myself into changing my pick. Because as everyone's about to find out,
we are the most brilliant people in the room.
How in the world did we choose 15 games and choose them identically, apart from
right.
each other.
Yep.
You're at your house. I'm at my house. I send you a blank sheet. As soon as I send you the blank sheet, I start filling mine out. It's finished. You send me your sheet saying, here's mine and Edith's picks, and they're identical.
And it's not like we don't have some close lines here. I mean, we've got
yeah.
the Bears-Lions is three.
A lot of them
Jacksonville-Buffalo is three. So we've got a lot of close games. It could go either way. It's not like they're all, you know, 14-point
spreads. I feel like I'm going to have to change that game just to be different. Although I don't like the fact that then that would make me taking all the home teams on Thanksgiving.
So, not that I want to talk you out of it, because I'm okay with you picking that, changing that pick for.
Because you need a challenge game.
I need a challenge game. I mean,
it's 7-3, Steve.
Otherwise, yeah. If we go the rest of the season and we never have a challenge game because we picked the same teams, then I'm going to lose.
Right.
So I'm okay with you changing your pick somewhere. I guess I know Trubisky had his shoulder was hurt, obviously, coming off the last week. So
yes.
We knew about the injury. But until this morning, we didn't know that it was bad enough that they were going to keep him out of tomorrow's game. The line hasn't moved.
Wow.
So
at
even
all?
after the news that he was out, I'm not seeing the line move at all, which means he's not the determining factor in where this game is going to go. It's going to be the Bears defense that's going to make the difference here. And I don't think Trubisky's going to make I don't think Trubisky being out makes the Bears a worse team.
Okay. I mean, I could buy that. I just think that Chase Daniels is not that good.
But I don't think Trubisky is either.
I'm pulling up my line history. It's not that I don't believe you. I just want to see what the line history is. It opened at 3.5. It climbed up to 4. And it is now 2.5. So it's moved a little bit.
A little bit. Okay.
But not it. Yeah, in favor of the Lions. It's moved a little bit.
Yep.
In favor of the Lions. The Bears are still favorite.
It swung a little to the Bears, and then a little bit more to the Bears, and then it's swinging
then
heavily
the
to the
news,
Lions.
Yeah,
but
I suspect.
But I mean, you're talking about a 1-point swing. I mean, we're not talking about a 15-point spread
it's
here.
Not,
it's
no. Yeah, it's still a field goal. I don't know. Let me think about it. We'll get to that in the pick section.
Yep.
But you should know. Just everybody should know that that Trubisky is not going to play. And here's the thing, Steve. The challenge game last week. Remember, before we even started recording, we were like, "Why is the Bengals Ravens game off the board? We got no line?" And we did some searches, and never did we see anything about Flacco being hurt and being out.
Right.
So the game starts, and it's Lamar Jackson. And I text Steve, and I'm like, "I'm playing this challenge game under protest. I didn't know Lamar Jackson was getting his first start today. Didn't matter. They won the football game anyways."
Yep.
So
you won under protest.
I did.
Yes.
So the protest goes away at that point.
Yeah,
right? There is no more protest after after you win. So there you go. Jeff and I actually used to have some major arguments over the challenge games back in the day. Man. But I want to, before we get to our picks, which are coming up, Steve, look it. Is it worthy of this being played for me?
No, it's not.
Okay, thank you. God, someone, as a matter of fact, now I have to go find out who tweeted it, that we needed to start playing the Imperial March for me because it was Ryan. Ryan tweets, someone getting his Patriot on, you may need to play the Vader theme for your own intro now. Steven has joined his hateful, evil empire of running up scores and early buys. I'm not running up scores. Am I running it up?
No. I'm the one making the pick.
Yeah, you're making the pick. You are in the middle of another pretty bad slide.
Yes.
You won the first. Well, we tied. It was that awful
tie
in week one that nobody liked. Then you went on a two-game winning streak. Four-game slide. You won one. In the middle of a three-game slide, looking to tie your worst four-game slide, or are you going to bounce out of it?
Have the Browns over their last two seasons had some sort of a theme song that I'm not aware of ineptitude that we could play for me? Because since it's not you running up the score, it's me making really bad decisions on the challenge game.
I think that's
where we should go with that.
Yeah, the ineptitude song. No, we never had one. All we ever did for both the Lions and the Browns during their 0-16 seasons was put them on 0-16 watch.
Yep.
Which, like, every week was like, 0-16 watch? Yep, they still don't have a win. And can you believe it? In, like, the last several years, we've had two teams go 0-16. The Raiders were trying until they won. I think both of their wins were kind of flukish. They weren't really expecting to win. And Gruden was like, what? I thought we were going to get the number one pick. What happened? You were supposed to miss that gig.
They are so bad they can't even play for the number one pick. Somehow they're winning games. I mean, two, but they're winning games when they're not trying
to. They're not trying to win. So there you go. That's it. I'm going to give you a quick little rave because it's something that, you know, is close to home and I need to do it, and then we can get to our picks. Here we go. If I hit the button. This rave is brought to you by someone from your team, Steve, the Green Bay Packers. Obviously, y'all know that there's been some pretty horrific fires here in the state of California going on, and that, you know, been multiple ones. Green Bay Packer quarterback Aaron Rodgers is donating $1 million to fire relief efforts. Steve, and when I decided that I was going to rave on Aaron because I think it just needed to be said, this isn't like he is gathering a whole bunch of people saying, hey, let's raise $1 million.
Yeah. It's not J.J. Watt who,
yeah, right,
with his
– and that was amazing.
Right.
And
his amazing fundraising, but that was a crowdsourcing effort of thousands of people coming together to do
it. To come up with the $41 million. This is just Aaron Rodgers saying the community – I mean, I grew up in Chico. I'm a California guy. California's in trouble. I'm going to help – and he just writing a check for $1 million, donating to the relief fund. They're saying that he donated on Wednesday. He said he donated $1 million to assist the relief process. He says his statement was, as many of you know, the California wildfires have devastated countless communities in Northern California, where I was born and raised. The city of Paradise burned to the ground. I'm sorry to, you know, report that my sister-in-law had family in the area. They've lost their home, so very thankful for Aaron for that because it's hitting close to home as well. He says, and many of the residents that got out are now displaced in my hometown of Chico and across the North State. So it's pretty awesome that someone obviously sees there's need, and, you know, it's $1 million, so it's a lot of money. Yeah, we said how much money he made.
Yeah, this year with his signing bonus, it's just under $67 million that he's being
so
paid.
He's so made a lot of money, great, and he's going to continue to make a lot of money. But the fact that it's just one person saying, here's $1 million, I know that you guys need help, and he's donating that is pretty pretty awesome. And if you go out on Twitter, Aaron actually has made a little kind of like video asking others to do the same, or at least try and help out. Obviously, not give $1 million, but to
I
help
want everybody
out.
To give $1 million.
To help out whatever you can. So I really appreciate that one. Aaron's taking the time to see that there's a need, and he's trying to help out as best he can. So it was worthy of me to give him praise and to rave on something like that, where he was able to come out and help, especially not just an area that affected his direct community, but other communities around him, such as Paradise, which was pretty bad. So thank you, Aaron. That was really cool. Rave for you, my friend. And that's all I've got.
Yeah.
All right. It's time to go. We've got half an hour to get to 15 games. Only two teams on a bye. the Chiefs and the Rams. Basically, the league said, you guys played two games on Monday night. Take a break. Chill out. Relax. And then come back and do it again. So the Chiefs and the Rams have a bye. Basically, they were supposed to be coming back from Mexico. So that's why they have their byes. And that's it. There's no more byes. After this week, we say bye to the bye. And Kansas City Rams, everybody will be back. So we have 15 games this week and then 16 throughout. So it's not a whole lot of weeks left for you, Steve.
No, I've got to step it up here. Yeah.
Yes. So here we go. But luckily enough with that Rams win, you were able to keep your one-game lead over me. How does that feel?
Yes, a number of the fans around us who were surprisingly a large number of Kansas City fans around us.
A lot of Chiefs fans there.
And then plenty of Rams fans as well. Neither of us were wearing colors or gear from either of the teams, so we were neutral, and they were a little confused because we were kind of cheering for both teams. And we were cheering.
We just wanted a great game, and we got it.
But then we started talking about, you know,
oh, where are we?
Who would pick what? And they were a little confused. So what are you guys doing here?
Yeah.
It was fun. But, yeah.
A lot of fun Monday night. So here we go. We'll start with El Juego Gigante Estupendo de la Semana. The Washington Redskins traveled to Dallas for a little Thanksgiving love to face the Dallas Cowboys. Steve, I hate Thanksgiving. I mean, not that I hate Thanksgiving. I love the holiday, and I love getting together with family. And literally, it's all about the S. It's family, faith, fun, football, food, and it's all in there, a bunch of Fs. And that's what we say Thanksgiving is, and it's great. But recently, there's been a lot of angst during Thanksgiving because the Cowboys obviously play. It's a team that plays every Thanksgiving. And there's been some ups and downs, and I've been told that Thanksgiving is not all that fun when the Cowboys lose.
Uh-huh, yep.
So this year for Thanksgiving, do you have responsibilities on Thanksgiving? Like, you know, you got to do something, you got to make some food or whatever?
Yes, long story, but I am in charge of all the cooking because
So you're the food guy.
I am the food guy on Thanksgiving. There's a story there we can get into later.
So for the last several Thanksgivings, as kind of like a payment for, you just have to, you know, be a little jovial, even if the Cowboys lose, kind of a thank you, you have no responsibilities whatsoever. I don't have to worry about any food, any drink, nothing. Food will be provided for me all day. Drinks will be provided all day. All I have to do is, when I watch the Cowboy game, not bring the whole family down.
That's a good trade-off, actually.
It is a pretty good trade-off. But
challenging. Challenging to succeed at that trade-off.
But it's going to be especially challenging because what did we spend like 5 minutes talking about earlier in the show?
Yep. Of all the teams that you could be playing on Thanksgiving,
it's the Washington Redskins. So in order for me to be able to continue my no responsibilities during Thanksgiving, I have to watch this game and say, Dallas just has to win. Otherwise, it may be on. I may throw somebody across the room or something. I don't know. Probably shouldn't do that because I'm going to be at my brother-in-law, sister-in-law's house. Don't want to damage their home. But 6-4 Redskins, 5-5 Dallas Cowboys, the winner of this division, takes first place in the division and pretty much controls their own destiny throughout the rest of the season. I've got Dallas. They impressed me on how they handled the Atlanta Falcons. I think they're going to go after Colt McCoy, my guy from Texas. And I think the Washington Redskins are going to struggle to score points.
Yep, I agree. It's I think a week ago this game was maybe a little bit more detrimental to you having a not so positive Thanksgiving. But right. I think at this point, short of some surprise here with McCoy, I think the Cowboys are going to get after him enough, and it's not going to be pretty for the Redskins this week.
Now I don't recommend anyone putting any money on this game. The Cowboys are favored by 7, and although I think the Cowboys can win by a touchdown, The fact of the matter is, for the last seven games on Thanksgiving, the Cowboys have not covered the spread. That's not good.
No.
Something about the Thanksgiving game. They have to wear, you know, those special uniforms with the stars on their shoulders. I kind of like the jersey a little bit, but I really like the white color rush with the white on the white, and they're all white. That looks really sharp. And obviously, their silver pants with the white. That's what I love. I hate it. The game that they played on Monday night against the Tennessee Titans, where they wore the blue tops at home. They should never wear the blue tops at home, by the way. They did that. Lost the game. Cowboys don't do very well when they wear the blue on top. You know, the Redskins used to force them to wear the blue on top back in like the 70s and 80s?
No.
Yeah, they would force that, even though the Redskins' home color is the dark red. And so the opposing team wears the white. When the Cowboys would come to Washington, the Redskins would change to their white jerseys, so the Cowboys would be forced to wear their navy blues in Washington.
How nice. Yes.
That's another reason why. See? They do stuff like that that makes...
Gamesmanship. Come on.
Games. It's just gamesmanship, Steven. All right. I've got Dallas. What are you and Edith got? See, Edith saw that she made the error of her ways last week.
Yes, she has learned.
Yes. I go with the star now.
So Edith and I are both with you on Dallas.
Yep, there you go. That's going to be a pretty big game. I think it determines the East, basically. The Washington Redskins with a win could pretty much take a stranglehold on that division, but the Cowboys can do the same by getting that win. All right, the other two Thanksgiving games. I can't even speak right now. The other two Thanksgiving Day games, the Detroit Lions host the Chicago Bears.
So we talked about it. Trubisky is out.
Yes.
I don't know that makes a difference.
It's official.
I don't.
I'm going to give you a game. I'm going to give you a game to. I'm going to do it. I can't. You know what? I will be so mad. No, because I have to be good on Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Otherwise, I cannot change. Because if I change it and then it's wrong, I will lose it. And then I will lose my. Not having to do anything
right,
on Thanksgiving.
It's Detroit at home on Thanksgiving.
See, but Detroit plays good. Even when Detroit was bad and they played like the Packers on Thanksgiving, they always give them a good game.
Sure.
And that's what I'm afraid of. Matt Stafford goes on fire. I mean, look at Detroit. They only have four wins, but Patriots, Panthers, Packers. I mean, those are all legitimate contenders, good teams. It's not like they just beat up on the Cardinals and the Raiders and the Browns. I mean, they beat some good teams. Teams with huge winning records.
In some cases.
The Packers. Well, but the Packers don't have a losing record, right? They're 4-4-1.
Sure. Yep.
They don't have a losing record.
500.
Yes.
It is not winning, it is not
losing.
It's just
there.
Record.
But Carolina was 6-3 when they met.
Yep.
And the Patriots were struggling.
Yeah, the first couple on, games, first couple Patriots games. Were.
I was thinking week three when they beat them, right? Yeah. On Monday Night Football.
So I think that Bears defense is just.
They are. Khalil
Mack. The attention that they have to put on Mack opens that up for so many other guys to make a play that
We were
see
at the game Monday
Stafford
and I turned over to Steve and I was like, can you tell me again why the Raiders traded Khalil Mack? Because I don't know.
We still haven't figured that out.
Yeah, man. Mack is having himself one heck of a season. And it's like Aaron Donald, for the Rams. He had two strip sacks and a couple tackles for losses. He was like, man, anything that Khalil Mack, I'm going to do better because I was the first big money guy on defense. But those two guys are having great seasons. Literally, it's Donald or Mack for Defensive Player of the Year, and they're going at it every week.
Right. Yeah, they're one-upping each other every week. So.
Yeah, so.
So, yeah, I'm sticking with the Bears on this one.
I've got the Bears. I'm not going to do it. Sorry, Steve. I'm not going to give you one.
Right, we'll see if we can talk you into changing some of the other picks.
All right, Lady Edith stays with the Chicago Bears as well. Moving on, the final Thanksgiving game. This is the late one. The New Orleans Saints at 9-1 host the Atlanta Falcons. Now, times are desperate for Atlanta. At 4-6, that loss to Dallas really kind of shook up the team. If they have any desire of sneaking in as a wild card, because look, New Orleans winning this division, they're not going to catch New Orleans. But if you look at the way the standings are right now, if we just assume that everyone is currently who's currently leading their division wins the division, that would be Washington, Chicago, New Orleans, and the Rams. Let's just for, you know, grins right now, they win the division. There are 8 teams after that all fighting for 2 spots. 8. You can't force 8 into 2. No. You can't do it. And, I mean, all of the 4-6 teams that have some sort of desire to make it to the playoffs, you can't lose anymore.
Right. We are – In that time frame, it's a must win.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, for all of the 4-6 and 5-5 teams, the Seahawks, the Cowboys, the Packers, the Lions, the Minnesota Vikings, all of those teams that are right in there in that 4-6, the Philadelphia Eagles, 4-6, 5-5. This is it. It's playoff time now. You've got to go on a streak of winning 4, 5, 6 consecutive games just to even have a shot at making it as a wild card team. I don't think Atlanta has what it takes to go into New Orleans on Thanksgiving. Everybody's going to be high on turkey and stuffing and all the other alcohol that comes with New Orleans. And that place is going to be rocking. I don't think Atlanta gets it.
No, we talked about it Monday when we were at the game that the Thanksgiving Day games, I think, are relatively clear on who should win the games.
Yes.
Right. Should be Dallas over Washington with Smith being out. Should be Chicago over Detroit. This is before Trubisky, but even after Trubisky. And it should be New Orleans over Atlanta. But Atlanta always plays them tough.
They do.
And you know one of these 3 games we're going to be wrong on.
No, I'm going to be wrong on all.
Especially if I move
to the Detroit game, I would be right there.
Well, if we're picking the same teams, then I can say that. If you change, then But yeah, so it's
Come on, Steve, I'm going with confidence. Cowboys, Bears, Saints, Thanksgiving. We're going to be all winners.
Of the 3 games on Thanksgiving, this is the one I'm most confident in saying the Saints are going to win.
Oh yeah, Saints.
The Falcons play them tough, but in New Orleans. Night game, nationally televised. They're going to be ready to go. But I just something tells me one of these 3 games isn't going to go the way it should.
As much fun as I had Monday night at Rams Chiefs, the most complete team in the National Football League right now is the New Orleans Saints.
Right. Yep.
Offense, the defense is a whole heck of a lot better than anybody thought they were going to be. Special teams, everything. The New Orleans Saints are the complete rounded whole package.
Right.
The fact that you have to go all the way back to week 1 where it was some fluke crazy Ryan Fitzpatrick magic that beat the Saints, it's crazy. I mean, and they only wound up losing, by 3 in that one?
Yeah.
So the Saints have won 9 straight games. I don't see how Atlanta wins this football game.
No, I don't either. But
all right, so we got the Saints. You got the Saints. And Lady Edith, oh, man, she is honest. I think Lady Edith looked at her standings last week, and she was like, wait a minute. What are you talking about? I only got 3 games right. There were 13 games. I only got 3 right. She got a little upset.
A coin flip would have had a better odd.
Exactly. 50-50. She wasn't even – I'm not even 50-50. Yeah, I mean, we didn't do all that much better. Five games.
Not bragging about my results.
We were 5-8, but you know, Lady Edith struggled a lot.
But that we were within the margin of error of the coin flip. She's not. She's
That's true. That's true. So she's sticking with us. She's got the New Orleans Saints as well. Let's head over to games of the week. We start in Detroit, actually in Carolina. We already did the Detroit game. In Carolina, where the 6-4 Carolina Panthers host the 5-5 Seattle Seahawks. Once again, as we were talking about, 5-5, 4-6, all of these teams, they need to keep winning if they want any hopes of sneaking into the playoffs. Carolina had a chance to win last week. They scored a potential tying touchdown. They kicked the extra point, and they tie, right? And you go to overtime, possibly. Instead, they went for two. Cam had all the time in the world. Literally, he could have gone over to the sideline, baked a turkey, had a turkey sandwich, come back onto the field, and throw the football. That's how much time he had. He had a wide receiver that was wide open, and he missed the pass. I don't understand what happened there. Neither he does. He's like, his thing afterwards at the post-game press conference, I have to make that play. Clearly, Cam, we know that you have to make that play. Why didn't you?
Right, we're asking you why you didn't.
So anyways, the Panthers, no, they can't mess up anymore. They gotta play ball. Ah, man, I don't know. I'm taking Carolina, but Seattle could potentially – I mean, this is a 3.5-point game. The line is Carolina minus 3.5. Carolina's at home. They got to win this one at home. They do. That's where I'm going. I'm sticking with my pick. See, that's you.
Yeah, so it was last week, Wilson, if he could make a mistake, made a mistake.
Yeah.
I mean, they won the game. And they came back in the fourth quarter, beat the Packers, get it. So, but Wilson just didn't look that good. And it's not, I mean, he's got the athletic talent to do it. It just, something between the ears isn't clicking with him. The decision-making was off just a little.
Right.
I think Carolina at home wins this one.
All right. I think Carolina will have enough pressure on them that they have to get it done. There's no more room for error there. So Lady Edith also has the Carolina Panthers. We'll move on to Denver, where the Denver Broncos host the Pittsburgh Steelers. So here I bring you my lock of the week, folks. I know the Tennessee Titans let us down bad last week. That game wasn't even close. They were already getting run out of the building when Marcus Mariota went down with his elbow injury, which they're now calling a stinger. But as soon as Mariota went down, you're like, although with Marcus, Tennessee has a chance of coming back in the game, they're not winning now with Blaine Gabbert. Blaine Gabbert, by the way, is the person that everybody is comparing Blake Bortles to. Remember, they're confusing the two because he used to be a Jag. And right now, they're kind of playing the same. But anyways, Blaine Gabbert couldn't get it done, and Indianapolis got the win. Dropping my locks to 8-3. Not very happy about that. But here I've got the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're only favored by 2.5 points, which means they just need to kick a field goal at the end of the game to win. I've got them winning outright over the Denver Broncos. Denver, you know, had to get – they had some – talk about a team who had all the balls bounce their way last week against the San Diego Chargers to get that win. The Chargers had a lead, and they kind of gave it away at the end. Phillip Rivers tipped ball, got intercepted, and then the kick. And it was just everything went Denver's way for them to win that game, and they still only won by a point. I don't think that happens here with Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh now is humming. They found their groove. They kind of played their half of football against the Jags last week where they were just flat. They were awful, and they still came back to win that football game. I think they come out sharp. They'll take care of business against Denver. Lay the 3 points because the 2.5, I think they win. They're going to win by more than the field goal. I think they win by 6 or 7 and cover the spread with ease.
So yeah, I'm with you. I have no idea why this line is what it is.
No, it's the only thing Denver, is that
the Denver
Denver's
defense is so up and down.
Yeah.
So inconsistent.
But just that their offense, too, is very – Case hasn't really been Keenum's just been very, very up and down, kind of like not really sure of himself here with the Denver Broncos. And when they traded away Demaryius Thomas to Houston, I think Elway kind of like saw, he's like, yeah, we're not going anywhere this year. So,
yep.
I mean, and they're still, even with that win last week, they're at 4-6. They're still chasing Kansas City and San Diego just within their own division. Going to be pretty tough for Denver. I've got Pittsburgh. I've got them covering the field goal. So take the Steelers. That is my lock of the week. Lady Edith also has the Pittsburgh Steelers this week. So we'll move on to Indianapolis, where the 5-5 Colts face the 5-5 Miami Dolphins. I don't even know. So it's funny. I had said a few weeks back that I really wasn't sure about the Miami Dolphins. And then they got thrashed by somebody. I was like, yeah, you should be pretty sure about the Miami Dolphins now. Man, but now I'm not really sure of the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, they – look, Tennessee was riding a nice little win streak. They had just knocked off the Cowboys on primetime TV. They had just knocked off the New England Patriots. And not just knocked off the New England Patriots. They spanked the New England Patriots. And then they lay and go a goose egg against Indianapolis. And it just looks to me like Andrew Luck is having fun again. He is, you know, finally, I'm like, ooh, I feel 100%. I don't have to worry about the injury anymore. I've taken the hits. They tried to run a tight end throw to Luck last week. And he, like, laid out, like, full extension laid out to try to catch that ball. He just looks like he's back in it. He's doing well. He's obviously not only made a connection with T.Y. Hilton, but with tight end Eric Ebron. I think Ebron has like 7-8 touchdowns this season already. It's good for Indianapolis. They're at home. Miami's coming off a bye, but they have to go on the road. I don't think, as the fake Andrew Luck Twitter feed sent out, "Mom, we have to cut our celebration short, as the Dolphin men are trying to come on land into Indianapolis." I like Indy.
Yeah, I'm with you. I like Indy. I mean, can't really add anything. Luck has just been looking really good.
Yeah, and Miami is, it's Miami, man. I feel sorry for my Dolphin friends. It brings me back to the Hootie Gulp blowfish, and I'm such a baby, the Dolphins make me cry. Literally, they're making all of their fans cry right now. But Lady Edith is jumping ship. Yep. She has agreed with us every game, but here she is sticking with her Dolphins, taking Miami. And our final game of the week, the Houston Texans at 7-3 coming off a bye, face the Tennessee Titans. This could pretty much wrap up the division for Houston. They win this game, improve to 8-3. They're on a 7-game win streak. Remember back in week 3 where Houston was 0-3?
Yep, and it was crisis mode, and
man,
how could
Deshaun
they be this
Watson
bad?
Watson is not the guy that they thought he was, and 7 wins in a row. Here they are looking good, and they're hosting a Tennessee Titan team that's not unsure if Marcus Mariota is going to play or not, and he's still – suffering effects from that stinger on his elbow. I've got Houston. I think a well-rested team. They're coming off of that last-second win in Denver. Now they're rested. They're at home. Reliance going to be loud and crazy, and I've got the Houston Texans winning home.
Yeah, I'm with you with the Texans. I don't know. The Titans are...
They're an enigma.
Yeah. If Mariota plays, if he can, he can. I mean, this is one of these games where, if it goes the other way, I'm not surprised.
Right.
This is one I have really bad last week.
They look really bad.
Yeah, but they always seem to play up to their competition.
True.
And with the Texans being on a 7-game winning streak, they're definitely going to be looking up at the Texans.
I I would say if Mariota plays, there is a chance. But if they trot Blaine Gabbert out there, this game is not even going to be close. It will be a thrashing.
I mean, the Titans' losses are to the Dolphins.
That's a bad loss.
The Bills.
And that's a horrible loss.
Yep. The Bills. Chargers by one. Blown out by the Ravens, 21-0.
Yep.
And the Colts last week. But their wins are against the Cowboys, the Patriots, Eagles, Jags, and Texans.
Houston gets their revenge this week.
Yeah, I'm not changing my pick.
Yeah.
But it just kind of reinforcing that I'm not going to be surprised if I lose this game.
Okay. This is Monday Night Football. The game started off because there's not sure about Mariota, but it is currently 5.5 points. Houston's favored by 5.5. I think they'll be fine there. All right, moving on to games of importance. We'll start in Cincinnati where the Bengals face the Browns. Now, here is one where I have a little bit of trouble. I've clearly been semi on the Cleveland Browns bandwagon. And my initial pick is the Cleveland Browns. But Cincinnati's at home. They're coming off a couple games losing streak. They gotta turn things around. I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm sticking with Cleveland. I think the moxie that Baker Mayfield brings, he just gives that team hope. And they're good, like, you know, mantra, they're like, Steven, stop saying that. I've said that the Browns defense is going to keep them in all the games. They've been in almost pretty much all their games. I'm sticking with the Browns.
Yeah, see, this is one I initially picked the Browns for all those reasons. They're coming off their bye. A little refresh. You know, plenty of time to plan here. But this is really one the Bengals should win.
They should.
I'm having a very hard time.
Are you picking the Bengals and making this a challenge game? That's where you have to.
I know. That's the challenge.
That's the challenge. Yeah. That's the challenge.
All right, let's come back to this one. I'm tentatively staying with the Browns, but I am very much on the fence to go over to the Bengals here.
Lady Edith continues her love affairs with the Browns as well, as she is picking the Cleveland Browns. And our final game of importance, the Green Bay Packers travel to Minnesota for Sunday Night Football to see the Vikings. Now, there is a slight outside chance that I will be at this game, Steve.
Enjoy.
I can't find it.
There's 0% chance I'm going to be at this game.
Well, yeah, you're not going to be there. I'm going to be in the Minnesota area for work. Universal Studios is sending me out there. We got an office, a remote office that I need to go help out. So I'll be there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then I'll be in Arkansas of all places Thursday, Friday before coming back home. Man, we got to figure out how we're going to do the show next week. But anyways, besides that, we'll figure that one out offline. I'm trying to go to the game, but I just cannot justify the amount people want for tickets. It's a Green Bay Packer team and the Minnesota Vikings team their records are almost identical. 4-5-1, 5-4-1.
Their combined records are 9-9-2.
9-9-2. Yeah. Why is anybody asking me to pay $300 for the upper deck of Mike Viking Stadium?
This is the first week of playoffs for both of these teams. You lose and you're done.
You are right. The loser of this game, Minnesota might be able to absorb a loss. The Packers cannot.
No, the Packers can't.
The Packers cannot fall to 4-6-1. They do.
There are the Packer faithful that are pointing out that the last time the Packers won the Super Bowl at this stage in the season, they were 4-6.
Okay.
Now, they were a good team that year.
Yeah.
That had some unlucky bounces and losses and some injuries. I'm not ready to say that they're a good team this year. Like, I haven't seen playoff caliber football from the Packers yet. So
Green Bay needs this game more.
They definitely need the game more.
And that's why I'm taking the Green Bay Packers.
and they play, I mean, the Vikings play the Packers hard, the Packers play the Vikings hard, so.
Their tie is to each other.
Right.
Which this, I swear to God, if this game is a tie and I'm there, I will lose it. I will throw stuff. I'm into just throwing stuff today.
Yeah. I'm going to have to, you know the foam cheese heads that the Packer fans wear?
Yes.
So, of course, marketing being what it is, people have just started making everything. Hats and ties and shoes. And they make a foam cheese brick that at one point we bought my father.
So if I throw that at somebody, it's, you know, it's.
Yeah, it's throwing a.
As long as they know that I'm doing it out of fun and don't really want to hit them with a cheese brick.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, that might be able to work. No, I've got Green Bay. I'm going to try and get in. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to the stadium. I'm going to go to the ticket window, and I'm going to say, do you have one ticket? I need one ticket. I don't care what it is. Just one ticket that I'd much rather pay face value for than $300. Yeah. And if they say, no, we don't got no tickets.
And they'll probably hand you like a Skybox ticket for free. Yeah. Somebody's not going to use it here.
Yeah. Thank you. You know, whatever. Hopefully I can get into the game. If
probably,
not,
probably not going to happen.
I cannot justify spending $3 on this game. So, but I'm going to be in Minnesota. So why not at least try?
Give it a try. Yep.
I'll give it a try. So I got Green Bay. You've got Green Bay. Lady Edith.
Of course.
Green Bay.
I don't know that she would ever.
She is not going to change. So since she's already changed from, you know, last week she lost the New Orleans Saints and the Dallas Cowboys. She lost both of the picks the week she went off of them.
Yep.
Now she's gone back to them this week. But there you go. She's not going away from Green Bay.
I don't see her ever going
against Green Bay.
Yeah.
What if we bring the old Green Bay Packer helmet? What if we do that?
The running guy on the football?
No, the one where it's just yellow and then it's got the big circle green number.
Oh.
That one that they wear when they wear their those old-time unis?
That's blue. That's not green.
Is it blue?
Yeah.
Even worse. Totally not going to. Because there's no green to it. So let's use that helmet and see.
Those are the Acme Packing Company logos. Come on.
That's
Warner Brothers was drawing cartoons about the pack.
No, Acme. All right. Time is up, my friend, but that's okay. We are moving to games of interest where the New York Jets host Bill Belichick and the Evil Empire. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not playing it again. Look, man. When Bill Belichick is watching a football game that is entertaining the bejesus out of the entire rest of the known living world, and his only thing is that he could think about his game versus the Jets. Now, I understand he's got a cross stuck up his bum because, you know, the last time they actually played a football game, they got thrashed by the Tennessee Titans, and then they had a bye week, so he had to sit and stew on it for 2 weeks. I get it. He's thinking about the Jets. I don't want to be the Jets right now because I think Tom Brady and Bill Belichick are going to pull it all the stops. It's not even
this is about the time of year they're going to prove to everyone that all we're the not doubters, done. All the haters. It's
us against the whole world. It's us against everybody who ever watched football and everybody thought that.
They've locked they've pulled the drawbridge up, locked the gates. they're in their echo chamber, and nobody's telling them that they're not going to win this game.
All right, so I've got the Patriots. You've got the Patriots. But Lady Edith is being defiant. She's like, I don't care what you say, Tom Brady. You are old and you can't play anymore. I'm taking the Jets. Those were her exact words.
I believe that is the exact phrase she used.
Yes. Awesome. Cool. So I don't want our listeners to think that I'm putting words in her mouth.
Right. Yeah.
I want to deliver the comments that the little one gives.
Accurate reporting. There's no fake news here.
All right. She's got the Jets. All right. Nap games, because time is up. We're just going to say the games, and you're going to tell me who you got. Ready? We'll start with Buffalo hosting the Jacksonville Jaguars.
All three of us have the Jaguars.
How in the world do we have the Jaguars? They were winning 16-0 with 5 minutes left on the clock, and they lost.
Because they're at Buffalo.
Okay, they're at Buffalo. But Buffalo's
any other team, and I'm pretty sure we wouldn't be taking Jacksonville, but it's Buffalo.
I'm giving you the chance to change the Buffalo and make this the challenge game.
Thank you for that offer.
Yeah, that's let's move on. All right. We're, the Philadelphia Eagles are hosting the New York Football Giants.
We're going with Philadelphia on this one as well.
I've got Philadelphia. You've got Philadelphia. But Lady Edith,
she's sticking with the Giants. Yep. She's got a feeling that they've been playing some good football.
They have been playing football, and I was this
Eli
close.
Eli is back.
I was this close to taking the Giants until I realized that the team that won the Super Bowl last year, first of all, I know we don't have much time, but I've got to just interject it. Is this, in recent history, the worst title defense of a Super Bowl champion that we've seen in a long time? Like, when was the last Super Bowl champion that you're like at week 11 and you're like, man, they're 4-6. They got 6.
They're not
losses.
Even going to make the playoffs at this rate. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is a legitimate concern now that they're not even going to get into the dance.
I can't think of one that's this worse.
Yeah. I can't think. I mean, this is a sad title defense. So, I'm taking Philly in this one, but I would not be surprised if the Giants pulled it out.
Yeah, I'm putting this one in with my Cleveland Cincinnati of it could go. I'm not disappointed if it goes the other way. Yeah. I'm not surprised.
Right. The San Francisco 49ers travel to Tampa Bay to face the Bucs. I've got the Bucs. But Lady Edith likes the 49ers. What? Man, I'm going to have to talk with her. No, I mean, but Jameis Winston. They're going back to Jameis Winston.
Yeah.
Jameis Winston has to earn his job here. I think for the final 6 games here for Tampa Bay, Jameis Winston has to at least go 4-2 to save his job, or he gonna be playing quarterback somewhere else.
And I think he gets a good start this week.
There you go. We've got Tampa Bay, Lady Edith for San Francisco. Then the Baltimore Ravens host the Oakland Raiders. We all agree that the Raiders will go back to their losing ways.
Yeah, they can't win 2 in a row.
Yeah, I've got Baltimore. You've got Baltimore.
They're not so bad that they're going to win 2 games in a row
by mistake and still
lose out on the first round or the first draft pick.
Lady Edith also has the Baltimore Ravens. And finally, the Los Angeles Chargers late game on Sunday host the Arizona Cardinals. And we all believe Los Angeles.
Wow. Almost got away with that one.
It's week 12, and I'm still doing it, man.
And you even said the L.A. Chargers, and then followed it up immediately with.
I'm just saying, like, sissy.
Yes, we're going to go that.
Yeah,
that
there you go. The Los Angeles Chargers, we've all got the Chargers winning. Arizona's just, they got some problems.
And Chargers got a little chip on their shoulder after last week.
Oh,
so
yeah.
They're not going to falter a second week.
They are upset. That is true. Now, remember, I've got the Pittsburgh Steelers laying 2.5. I say go all the way up to 3. They're going to win by 6 or more over the Denver Broncos. That is the lock of the week. And we're going to check back with Steve to see if he's going to change anything.
Yeah, we're going to change that.
Oh,
Bengals, Browns.
He's going to. So you're going to Cincinnati?
I'm going to Cincinnati and making that the challenge game.
There it is. It is official.
It's painful, but it may be my 4th really bad decision in a row, but we'll see.
All right. Well, he is in danger of a 4-game losing streak, so we'll make that the challenge game. Steve goes to Cincinnati, and I stay with the Browns. Folks, once again, all you show donors out there, thank you very much. Steve and I had a really good time. I mean, I had a great time on Monday night.
It was absolutely fantastic.
Good stuff. So that's all the time we got for you, wherever you are. Thanks again. I'm Steven Miranda.
I'm Steve Fry.
And you've been listening to NFL Rants and Raves. We're out.